My name is Clint. It's a pleasure to see you guys. I have the privilege of being the pastor here. This is Advent season. Thank you, Jeremy, for the introduction each week to Advent. I think that's super helpful, and you did an excellent job just helping us get on the same page. This year for Advent season, we're kind of walking through three themes: preparing, waiting, and rejoicing. Last week, Aaron did a wonderful job talking about how we physically and spiritually prepare for the arrival or the celebration of Christmas Day. Christmas is going to be busy, but it doesn't have to be a blur. And we want to be able to set our hearts in the direction so that when this day comes on December 25th, our hearts are prepared and ready to receive and worship and praise the Lord for Him coming into this, into humanity. Today we're talking about waiting, right? Waiting is hard. And we spend a lot of our time and our days, it seems like, waiting. Some of you wait in traffic. You wait at a bus stop. We wait online with customer service. We wait in line at the grocery store. If you're at my house, we have one bathroom and six of us. So we spend a lot of time waiting. I don't want to ever hear anyone complain. I guess some people have a right to complain more than I do. But in this regard, for those, if you have a house and you've got six people with one bathroom, you spend a lot of time waiting, and certain people in our house get more time than others. They have all the time they want, and others have to kind of share the bathroom, all right? If you have an iPhone, you have those little three dots when you iMessage somebody, and then you see those dots going, and you know they're there thinking about what to reply to you, and you have this, like, it's called, like, it's technically called three-dot anxiety, when we have to wait for the message to be returned, their answer, right? Again, this doesn't apply to me, but for those of you, you have to wait on your spouse to get ready once in a while. I don't ever have to do any of that in my house, but we're waiting for your spouse to get ready. You're waiting on the next show to come out on Netflix, right? Some of you are waiting for a job, a promotion. You're waiting for an answer. You're waiting to hear back from the doctor. Some of you are waiting on the next season of life. You're so done with this season that you're in right now, and you can't wait till the next season comes, right? Some of you are waiting on the right man or the right woman, or maybe you want to start a family. There's any number of things that we find ourselves waiting on. In general, though, we're not real good at waiting. At least I'm not real good at waiting. And I think there's a couple reasons for that, which I'm going to articulate. There might be more, but even though we spend a lot of our time waiting, we are in a society today, especially in a first world, Western world, where we've done everything we can to eliminate the need to wait for anything. Right, we are in a modern society, and we have less and less opportunities to practice waiting. Even just the food industry. Instead of preparing food and letting it cook now, we rush to fast food, or we rush to microwave our meals because we don't want to wait, or maybe it's just convenient. We have Amazon Prime now, so we can get that thing that we really, really need the next day instead of waiting 5 days for it to get here. Right? We pay for the highest subscription, so we don't have to wait to watch commercials any longer. We want to get the highest or the fastest speed internet so we can download as quick as possible. We're not having a lot of opportunities to practice waiting in the modern world we live in. That's the first reason we're not good at waiting. The second reason is this: when we do have opportunities to practice waiting, right, we find things to keep us preoccupied. Right, what's the number one thing people do when they're waiting? Phone. Immediately, the phone comes out, and they're checking news, your scores, your social media, because it's impossible just to stand in line and wait. So we don't have a lot of opportunities, and when we do have opportunities, we find things to keep us preoccupied. If we don't get out our iPhone or our phone, we fill our time with multitasking or busy work because we want to worship the gods of efficiency and productivity. If I'm waiting, I'm not being productive. Right? So here's the deal. Our inability to wait or lack of practice waiting has not only made us impatient as a people, but it has left us vulnerable to, I think, spiritual crisis. Right? Especially in the more significant matters in our life when we don't know what the future holds and we're really having to wait for a job, for the next paycheck, for the next season of life, for an answer, for a new relationship, for whatever that may be. And this vulnerability to spiritual crisis kind of results in two things. One, we begin to question ourselves. I must be doing something wrong. I must be broken. I must need to change something. I must need to hurry up. How can I get to the next season of life? What do I need to do to fix this? And we get antsy and we start making quick and impulsive decisions. because clearly I'm the problem. There are obviously times when we need formation, and there's reasons for that. Waiting doesn't always mean you're doing something wrong. Right? So we begin to question ourselves, and more importantly, though, or more dangerously, we begin to question God. Where is God? Why doesn't he care? Why doesn't he step in and do something about this? Doesn't he love me? Can he really be trusted? You know what? I think I should just do this on my own. So our lack of, our inability to wait has put us in this place, I think, of vulnerability to spiritual crisis. And here's the dilemma or the tension that we're in then. We live in a world that wants to strive or strives to minimize or even eliminate waiting. And yet waiting is a consistent theme throughout the entire redemptive story of God. It's a consistent theme. God's people have always been a waiting people. Right? If we just look throughout the scriptures, a cursory look, Noah waited for God, right, to bring rains as he's building this ark. That took him years. Think of the humiliation and the laughter and the people making fun of him for building a boat in the middle of a dry ground for this promise of God to bring a flood. And yet he waited. Abraham and Sarah waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise of a son, Isaac, and not really being real good at waiting. That's why Sarah said, why don't you take my maidservant Hagar and have a child with her, and that will be the promise. They didn't wait real well. Right, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and then he waited on God's plan to come save a remnant, waiting while he's in prison for something he didn't do. Right, Moses waiting 40 years before being called to lead God's people, and then another 40 years actually leading God's people. Job waiting through unimaginable suffering, and yet not stopping or not trusting God, not distrusting God in the process. David waiting to be anointed was anointed as the king, and then yet he had to run for his life from Saul until Saul was removed from his position by God. Isaiah prophesying about the coming Messiah, and then God's people waiting, another 700 years before the Messiah comes. Jesus himself didn't begin his public ministry until the age of 30. He waited 30 years, knowing exactly who he was. And then when he began his public ministry, he still waited. Right? In John chapter 2, at the miracle with the changing of the water to the wine, they run out of wine, and Jesus' mother says, man, Jesus, do something about this. We don't have any more wine for this wedding feast. And Jesus says, woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. At one of the Jewish festivals, his brothers are saying, Jesus, go show yourself, man. You got some magic stuff going on right now. Go show yourselves and show it to everybody. And Jesus says in John 7, my time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I am not going up to the festival. Why? Because my time has not yet fully come. Even Jesus spent time waiting. Advent is a reminder that we are a waiting people. Jesus has already come in his first advent to save us and rescue us from our sins. He's going to return in his second advent to bring forth the kingdom of God and restore the kingdom of God the way God intended it. Yet in the middle of that process right now, between his first and his second, we live in between the times, between the already establishing of the kingdom of God and yet the not yet reality of it coming back to its fullest fruition just yet. That's the tension that we wait in right now. Waiting is not just this mundane duty that all of us as Christians just have to kind of endure until Jesus comes back. Waiting has purpose in preparing us and keeping us spiritually fit for the return of the Lord. There's two things specifically that I think waiting does. Again, there might be more things. These are just the two I'm going to focus on this morning. That waiting does as it prepares us and keeps us spiritually fit for the return of the Lord. Number one is this. Waiting guards our lives against the need for instant gratification. Waiting guards us against the need for instant gratification. We live in a world where instant gratification is glorified. It's almost worshipped. We need a quick fix, a dopamine hit, a prompt answer. I just got out of a relationship. I need the next one now. Right? The purchase is just one click away. You don't even need the money. You got a credit card. Just hit the button and it will be here tomorrow. I need to glorify. I need to get this gratified instantly. Instead of waiting for God to answer, take care of it yourself now. You don't need God, just do it yourself. Right? Young people that are in love, that want to be married, that know they're going to be married, don't need to wait for sex anymore. You can just do it now because the world says gratify it instead of waiting for God's perfect timing. C.S. Lewis says, we are far too easily pleased. I love this quote. I'll just read the whole quote in context. C.S. Lewis says, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are far too easily pleased. Man, how many times have we settled for less than God's best because we worship instant glorification? Right? The reality with instant gratification is that it rarely produces any sustainable life change. Nothing gets formed in us when we find our things that we're wanting to be gratified, instantly gratified. There's no hard work. There's no commitment. There's no perseverance. There's no trust, right? Instant gratification over time ultimately leads to ungratefulness. It leads to entitlement. And ultimately, with instant gratification, we're actually left unfulfilled. All right, the paradox with instant gratification is that we may get instant gratification, but we get decreased joy over time. We get less enjoyment. Right? Waiting guards our hearts and our lives against the need for instant gratification, because ultimately that will not fulfill us in the long run. It will fade with time. Our enjoyment will decrease when we're constantly seeking to instantly gratify our desires. I love how Paul talks about this in two separate passages. I'm just going to read them. I want you to look at the tension here. He says in Philippians chapter 3, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite." Now, that's not like food, like I'm really hungry, therefore I'm going to eat. It's their desires. Their God is their appetite. Desires are not wrong unless they're outside of God's will or outside of God's time. Then they are wrong, right? Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about what? This life. Here on earth. But look at the contrast. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And because we're citizens in heaven, look what comes next. And we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into his glorious body like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Waiting reminds us that we are citizens of another kingdom. Right? He says again in Titus chapter 2, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of our glory, of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." Waiting reminds us that we are citizens of a kingdom, the kingdom of God, right? Right? Waiting not only guards our need or our need for instant gratification, but on the flip side, waiting intensifies our longing and our enjoyment for that which can ultimately satisfy. Right? I love this passage in Romans that Paul, this is a message version, Paul says this, "The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back." Just next time you go for a hike in the forest, look at the trees. And know that they're like waiting. They're like, they're getting held back by God because they're ready for God to come back. They know it. They see it. They feel it. They're like part of God's creation. Like they're being held back. God is reigning it in until both creation and the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We also feel the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting doesn't diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. Waiting intensifies our longing and our desire for Jesus to return. It intensifies it. And that doesn't just eliminate or help teach us to say no to instant gratification, which can't satisfy us. It increases our longing for that which ultimately can satisfy us. This dual kind of purpose of waiting. I think the best illustration I can give to combine these two things together is Thanksgiving meal on Thanksgiving Day, right? So when I grew up in a family, and Rachel and I have differences here, and that's wonderful in marriage. It's awesome. Differences in marriage are so fun, right? Our differences in marriage. But I grew up in a family, and we ate our Thanksgiving meal like at noon on Thursday. And that was awesome for me as a teenager because I could sleep until about 11:30 and then wake up and I'm eating Thanksgiving meal. I had no idea what went into making Thanksgiving meal. I have no, and probably still don't. I have a little bit more awareness of it now, but I didn't know all the work that went in by my mom and my aunts and my dad to get everything ready. I just kind of woke up, watched football for 20 minutes, and then started eating, right? In our family, Rachel, they eat dinner a little bit later. So we eat our family dinner as a family at around 6 o'clock on Thursday. That's a lot harder for me, right? Because all day I'm smelling this turkey baking in the oven, or I'm smelling the sweet potato casserole, or I'm swelling is afterwards. That's right, yeah. Smelling the apple pie. All the food is being cooked and prepared, and the aroma of that is making me hungry, right? And so I've had breakfast that morning, and maybe just a little bit of lunch, but around the afternoon, I'm like, I'm smelling all this, and I'm sensing this need to gratify that hunger pain. And for me, right, I love granola. I mean, that's like my go-to. I've never had struggle with alcohol or drugs, but man, you give me some granola and it's on, right? I love granola. I love cereal. Vince and Jenny bless me with Costco's Kirkland granola, like big bags of it, like every few weeks. It's so good, right? And I was so tempted on Thanksgiving Day because I wanted to get this need gratified to eat like two bowls of cereal, right? And I would have been gratified temporarily. It would have helped the hunger pains, right? And I would have, for a moment, been satisfied. But guess what? When the Thanksgiving meal comes around, about 2 hours later, I'm not as hungry, right? And when it got sat on the table, I wouldn't eat as much, and I wouldn't enjoy it that much because I curbed it 2 hours ago with something that can't satisfy me. You see? Waiting eliminates or diminishes the need to instantly gratify something that you can't, that will never satisfy you. And it increases our longing for that with which can perfectly. His name is Jesus. All right, this is what waiting does. There's a dual purpose in waiting: to guard us against the need for instant gratification and to intensify our longing and enjoyment for what can truly gratify our souls. Right, this is how waiting prepares us and protects us. It's how it keeps us spiritually fit for the coming of the Lord. It ultimately increases our enjoyment of God's best for us when he brings his best, whether that's in this life with something or eventually and ultimately one day when he returns. All right? I want to ask you a question, and I don't want anybody to answer. I just want you to, in your own mind, think about this question. What are you waiting for today? Think about something that you're waiting for in life right now. I'm going to list some examples. They might not be your examples. You're waiting for the right man or the right woman to share your life with. You're waiting for your spouse to change or for your marriage to be healed. You're waiting for God to bless you with children. You're waiting for your children to come to the Lord or your children to come back to the Lord. Or you're waiting for a phone call from your children. You're waiting for your season of life to change because you're so tired of this one. Just want to get into the next season of life. You're waiting for a job or for a promotion or for housing, maybe for a dream house. You're waiting for college, waiting for a boss to give you the promotion. You're waiting on a dream that you feel God has promised you, but you don't see the fulfillment of that yet. You're waiting for healing or the healing of a loved one, or you're waiting just for God to intervene in a really difficult season of life. All of us today, in some capacity, find ourselves waiting. Church, Advent reminds us that we are awaiting people. Right? Waiting is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's a hard thing. And it's something that we ultimately need the Lord to come in through faith and trust that he's doing something in the process of waiting. It's preparing us, it's protecting us, it's guarding our lives, it's getting us prepared for his arrival or for his answer or both. Waiting reminds us that we are citizens, right? And the reality is because we're not really that good at waiting, we're at risk of making quick and impulsive decisions that ultimately can harm us, right? We're at risk of taking matters into our own hands. So I just want to encourage you today, and these are going to be bullet points, right? I'm not going to get into this too much. I'm just going to give you some bullet points. How can we work on waiting in a way that glorifies God, right? Bullet point number one, learn to be content and give thanks in all circumstances. It's not easy, but we have faith that God can help us do that. You know why? Because that protects us against coveting and comparing. Because when you don't see something you want, and you see someone else getting it, and you start comparing, it's going to steal your joy. So learn to be content and give thanks. Practice giving thanks for things in your life right now for what you can be thankful for. Number two, remain in the Word of God. Don't stray away from the Word of God. Remain in His Word so that you don't compromise. When you get your mind away from God's Word, you start taking matters into your own hands. You start making small decisions that are compromising and are taking you away from God's perfect will for your life. The psalmist says, I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in His Word I put my hope. Number three, stay connected to community. Right? Stay connected to community so that you don't isolate. I've sat across the table from many people that have made really bad decisions in their life because they isolated. They got outside of faith, they got outside of community, and they start thinking the decisions they make are the right ones, and they're not because they're outside of community. All right, number four, worship and rejoice, even if you don't feel like it, to keep your heart from growing weary. That's what we're going to talk about next week is rejoicing, right? Worship and rejoicing reorients us to God. We need a lot of reorientation on a regular basis to God. Rejoicing activates and stimulates the joy of the Lord that lives within us. But we got to do it by faith, right? Learn to be content, give thanks, remain in His Word, stay connected to community, worship and rejoice so we don't grow weary. And then those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. And that's the promise of God. Amen? Amen. Jesus, thank you so much that you came and you're returning. And that by your Holy Spirit, you are teaching us and helping us as we wait. Lord, if there's correction that needs to be done in our lives, then we pray that you would lead us through that correction with grace and kindness and patience with us. God, if there's just waiting because you're teaching or you're just something else needs to change or circumstances need to change or someone else needs to change before we see the answer, we see your intervention, Lord, give us patience, Lord. With every small thing and every big thing we're waiting for in life right now, remind us that we are awaiting people and that we're citizens of a kingdom. With whatever we're waiting for right now, Lord, remind us today that we're citizens of a kingdom, the kingdom of God. And ultimately, Lord, in our waiting, would you renew our strength? Would you give us new strength to help us in the waiting? In your name we pray. Amen.